This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello there, and this welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes. I'm Liesl Tom, and with me as always, my bestie, Shemaine.
We've got gremlins looking. It looks like we have some gremlins in the studio today. So sound's going to be all right now, and everything will sort itself out now. Our driver today is Palisa Mabuya, and it's the first time that you're working with us, and we've got some gremlins going. Is it making you nervous? Okay, well, that'll sort itself out. And then, Liesl, you brought us an amazing guest.
What we're talking about today, Shemaine, is Tibetan singing bowls. Mm-hmm. And years ago, I went for a treatment, and it's made an amazing impression on me. I've never been able to forget it. I tried to get the person who took me through the treatment for us, and instead, I came across Francois Smith. Francois is a Tibetan Tibetan singing bowl practitioner, and he's got all his. Are these all your bowls or some of your bowls?
Hello. No, this is just five of my bowls. I've got more or less like 20 bowls that I use in my practice.
Okay, so he's got some of his bowls here for us.
Okay, cool. Welcome, Francois.
Thank you, Shemaine.
Are you happy to be here?
Very happy and very excited.
Do people need to know about the Tibetan singing bowls?
Definitely. It's such an amazing therapy that I've experienced that has changed people's lives, and it really has had a very good influence on them and changed them in good ways. So mm-hmm. Definitely, I would love to share all about this with you.
Yay. I have to say, I was quite reticent when Liesl went, look at the Tibetan singing bowl guy. I'm going, really? Can we do reincarnation or something more dramatic? She goes like, you know, I don't know what your problem is, you know. And then she's like, so she got ill, and I was like, okay, whatever you want.
Okay, so now I know. Next time, if I want my way, I'll just go climb in bed. Francois, let's start off by telling us more what these bowls are used for.
Okay. Sound and the use of sound in therapy is an ancient old tradition that is used and was used through centuries, and people have realized the influence that sound has on the human being, on the body, and the way that we feel, because it has a definite direct influence on our emotions. Mm-hmm. If you think about songs and sad songs and happy songs and what they do to you, and this is how sound works. This is the use of Tibetan singing bowls as a therapy started way back, and I think the Germans started to use it a lot, and they made it into something and more, gave it more structure. But I just love sound and music, mm-hmm. and I love to sing, and I love music, and this just resonated with me, the use of sound and music in therapy to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Because you are a psychologist.
Yeah, I'm also an educational psychologist.
Mm-hmm. And you use this in, you know, during your practice or outside of your practice?
Yeah.
Are you? Can it be used as part of your practice?
It can. And what I have used it successfully with is people that suffers from a lot of stress.
Okay.
Usually work-related stress. And then they come for a session, and after an hour they usually say, oh, it felt like I slept the whole night. You know, they go back into a deep state of relaxation, mm-hmm. and they can get rid of all their anxiety and things they worry about. And now recently I started to introduce it to children and to see the effect on them, because it's not a well-known therapy to use within a psychological practice, but I do use it, and I've seen marvelous things happening with people that was part of the therapy.
So I'm still not clear. Do you use it for healing? Do you use it for meditation? What do you use it for?
If I put on my sound therapist hat, then definitely for healing. It because it works with the brain and relaxation. Usually what we do when we are stressed or there's stuff in our lives that we don't access, we tend to push it down. And when we push down stuff, then it transforms into a disease, like depression, the modern day disease, because we don't talk about it. And what the sound does, because maybe I must just start to explain how the therapy looks like. Mm-hmm. A client will come in. The hours, it's usually an hour, and he lies on the bed.
Mm-hmm. But can we just establish here, this is just your sound, your Tibetan singing bowl therapy thing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with your trained profession.
Yeah, nothing to do with my educational psychology.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So then a client will come in more or less for an hour, will lie on a normal massage bed, and then I put these bowls, some of them on the body, and some of them around the body. Mm-hmm. And then at the head and foot, there are two big Tibetan gongs.
Mm-hmm.
They are about a meter in diameter. It's huge. And then I just start to play them randomly. And there are some sequence, because later on I will make the sounds and let you hear how it sounds. And then I play them for about an hour. And during that hour, and usually afterwards, we talk about their experience, because then they link with memories, emotions, and then we start to talk about it. And it's also a very intuitive session. Mm-hmm. So I pick up on people's emotions and stuff, and then we start to share. And what is amazing is how quickly we build rapport and trust within the session. Because just often our people are much more comfortable to share and open up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really powerful. And then we start to talk. And yes, I do, on this side, I do a little bit of energy work, what we call Reiki. So while I'm doing the sound and the Tibetan singing bowls, while I play them, I also do some energy work, like Reiki. So I do a lot of energy work with the sound.
Wow.
That I use. Yeah.
I have not heard anything like that, the combination of the two. I've not heard of the combination of the two. So I would really like to see it. maybe we can let Liesl lie down, and you've got, like, how many bowls have you got? Yeah, three, four, five bowls, maybe. You've got five bowls. Maybe you could just, you know, sit her down. We've got a couch. Maybe Palisa, would you be? You know? But so what do you get, the feedback, when you, because you say you have a great rapport afterwards, you have, you know, people are open. What kind of response do they give you? What do they say? Other than, oh my goodness, I feel so relaxed now. How do they become emotional?
Many of the people do become very emotional. So they associate with certain memories, or some people even see colors.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel that they drift off into a world that they've never seen before. So there's different experiences, but definitely one that runs through all of it is that they feel totally relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people do become very emotional. So it's like a session where they can just release a lot of emotions. And I think that's why it's so powerful. That safe space that I create with the help of the singing bowls for people to feel safe, just to be themselves and just to open up and let go. And I think in that moment, that's when the true healing takes place.
Francia, how does it work? What's the science behind it?
what the sound does, and if you listen to the Tibetan singing bowls, and for those who are listening, can just download this. There are a lot of sound clips on the internet that you can listen to. Is immediately you start to feel relaxed. And what sound does, especially at these vibrations that the bowls are, when I play them, they have an influence on your amygdala, the primal brain. And that primal brain, he governs our emotional responses. It's when you go into the stress mode, your body tense and you're worried and you want to run away, that happens. And when you start to listen to the bowls, that part of the brain starts to relax more and more. And then the frontal lobes, they are stimulated, and that's where you can really start to focus and relax and also then release a lot of your emotions. The prefrontal cortex is associated with the higher order of the brain, and it regulates your functions and your decision making, executive functions, and
so the conscious ones.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and then prioritize when you're quite conscious. So what happens when you listen to the sound is that what they call a functional connectivity, where the primal brain, the amygdala, starts to almost, if I can say, shrink in its activity, and the prefrontal and frontal lobes are stimulated, and that areas are associated with attention and concentration, and that's why you seem, and that's why they say that you can concentrate better when you listen to certain kinds of sounds and music. And I think we talked about before the session, Germaine, you told me that when you listen to it, you could concentrate better and you could focus better.
Yeah. So what we do here, we kind of try and be as, you know, the guinea pigs for Beyond Ears and Eyes. So we try everything. So when we talk to someone, we have at least a bit of information. So anyway, so she did it, and I felt I don't know what I'm letting myself in for. And I went and I listened to some of it, and it was most incredible. So I called you. I said, hey, I'm busy working, but is this thing going to put me in a trance? Because I suddenly just felt so relaxed. It was like I lost all track of time, and I just thought, let me find out what I can expect. Mm-hmm. I totally lost track of time. I tried it again. And then the next time, because they were two different ones, they were for two different things. You know, the one was for the third eye, and the other one was just for pure concentration and relaxation. So the second one now, the latter, got me into an emotional state as well. So the one was like totally focused. The other one was like, hey, how you doing, little girl? You know, and I start crying, and I'm thinking, no, I want my mommy. I'm like, no. So that's what it did. So I can totally say, and I did it on a level where I did not expect anything. I just put it on and started working. But you do have that feeling of, could I die?
Sorry, I just want to ask something after Germaine's telling us. Is there a difference between listening to the singing bowls on the internet and actually having them placed on your body?
Oh, there must be.
Yeah, I think something gets lost when we record. Mm-hmm. And I think we can easily see that when we go to a live show and listen to the recording of the artist, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And I think with the bowls, it's exactly the same. The vibration and the way that you experience and feel the vibration is so more intense, because the bowls are actually on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you can feel the vibration. And it's so beautiful when you take one of the bowls and you give it to a child, and he holds the bowl and you play it, and they still feel it very intense. So they just start to giggle, and when I ask them, what do you feel, they say, my fingers and my toes are jiggling, and they can't just stop laughing. So yeah, it's quite an intense feeling when you put the balls on your body, and that experience, and I think that is just more effective.
So meditation, you do it more for healing, but for meditation, how should one apply it?
I think definitely if it's a great addition to meditation, because it helps you to slow the because sound slows the brain waves, and that's what you want to do or get to when you meditate. You want to slow down everything, your breathing, your brain function, everything must slow down, and this definitely helps you. And the sounds definitely is a great thing that you can just add on to your meditation to help you to meditate.
So you said that each bowl has its own vibration.
Yes.
Do you use all 20 of your bowls on people at the same time, or do you select some? And if you select, how do you know which ones?
No, I do not select. I use all the bowls on all the people, on all my clients that come there. What is amazing about these bowls is they're all handmade. So they vibrate at different frequencies. So when I play them, somewhere in your body a resonance happens, because every living thing on the earth vibrates because it's alive. and the bowls vibrate at a certain frequency, and then resonance happens between mm-hmm. the bowls and your body.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're sick or don't feel good or depressed, our vibrations are very slow and not healthy. When we're exposed to higher vibration, what happens? Lower vibration always goes to a higher vibration. So after the session, if you did feel a little bit down, this higher vibrations just lifts you up and you feel so much better afterward.
Hmm. Have you ever thought of taking this into a hospital to experiment with patients? You're laughing at me, but I'm thinking, you know, I wonder whether someone wouldn't actually find some sort of benefit if you're saying that it works that well. You know, because sometimes it is that illness is psychosomatic.
Yeah, I think we live in a world where people are so scared of everything that's not known, and that makes them scared. And I think, and that's what I want to try and do with the singing bowls and my psychology, is to combine them and give it a more scientific ground so that people can know, but this is not airy-fairy, it really works. It works on vibration and sound, and it has an impact on our body. We use sound in the hospitals already to do a sauna, if we go to look, if you're pregnant or whatever, they use sound to get that image of the baby. So we already use sound, but I think not in this way. And I would love to use it one day under circumstances we can actually see what it does to the brain. What is the sound? What happens to the brain while people are listening to it? It will be great, yes.
What are these bowls made from?
They have a coppery golden look, but it's more or less five metals of copper and
pass me one.
I'm not quite sure
what it's made of.
Yeah.
It is very heavy.
And you've got one of the smaller ones.
Yeah, it feels good, you know. It's probably your energy that I'm feeling in here. So, but I mean, that's the ring against there, and but the sound is quite dense. I thought it would give a more crystal-like sound.
Maybe I can I can eat one for you, and you can.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Can I almost imagine? I hear angels.
Oh wow!
Huh?
That's amazing, and it goes on and on. So the one that you have in your hand, what is that for? What do you use that for?
This one I put usually at the head of the client, and the other small ones I just place. I don't look at them as having a specific function as mm-hmm. to the higher, the smaller bowls I use higher, because if I play the bigger bowl, you will feel it resonates with a different part of your body than the very high one.
Is that also where you then place it?
Yes. This is a very high bowl.
And it's very small.
And then the larger one, you will feel it almost resonates at a different part in your body.
Okay, that's like the chest part.
Chest.
Yeah.
And that's where I put the bowl, more or less on the chest, tummy area, when
All right.
I play this bowl, yes.
Do they work on the chakras?
They do. And they have there's certain notes that for each chakra, but I didn't use that in the bowls. I just, when I chose my bowls, there was a lady coming in with a lot of bowls, and I put them on the ground, and I used my intuition and what was beautiful to me, and I chose my bowls, and since then I've been using them like that, yes.
And how long did it take for you to learn how to manipulate the sound, you know, to get healing and not confusion and distress?
I visited a lady in Johannesburg, sorry, I can't remember her name now, and she does the similar, and I think the guy that you also visited, I know him as well, and they showed me a little bit, but I'm not a very structured person, so the Germans were very strict. Three knocks here, two knocks there, and I can't work like that. I'm very intuitive on the way that I use my bowls, so I just play them.
So everyone has a different session?
Yes.
So what you do for Liesl, you won't do for me,
and you won't
do for Palisa?
No.
Okay.
And what's also amazing, as you play the bowls through the session, their sounds change as as the session goes on. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it will be on somebody's tummy and it will go gung, gung. And then as the session will go on, it starts to ring and ring more and more and more.
So that's clearing the body.
That's clearing.
The energy. Mm-hmm. It's like when you do it in your house. You know, you can, because I can do it with a bell. Mm. And then you walk around your house and you start with a bell and it goes like goof. And then you go a little bit again and goof. And then you walk and you come back again as you clear you. And then eventually you get to the same space and it goes like ding. Mm. And then you know, okay, you can leave that space now. It's gone. And that's normally in the corner. So that sounds like it's energy clearing for the body.
Yes, yes. And people can feel it. Usually the other experience I have is that they feel physical pain. They will tell me, oh yes, there was a pain in my leg and it was just staying there. And then at one stage the pain will just release.
Hmm.
And then we'll talk about it and ask, what's the association with the pain in your upper leg? Is there something? Did something happen to you or whatever? You're.
So can you help people with arthritis? Come on now. Talk to me.
I did try it on my dad, yeah, and it just helps him to relax. I don't think, yeah, arthritis is a different thing. It's very painful. Yeah. But maybe, as I say, that there are studies that shown that for arthritis and autism and stuff, that sound does make it better.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to play us a tune that you think is quite soothing. In the meantime, this is Cliff Central, and you can send us a message at cliffcentral.com, and that's for Twitter, and WeChat ID is Cliff Central, so you can send us a message. But other than that, this podcast will be available about 20 minutes after we're done here, so please do download it and have a listen. Francois Smith is playing the Tibetan singing bowls, and what would that sound do to a body, the one that you've just tapped out?
This I usually, when people come in, they are so stressed, and what they usually say when they try to meditate by themselves is that they can't get their mind just to stop. And I start the session usually with playing these upper bowls a lot around the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to use very simple, it's a very simple melody. And I keep on repeating it. And then you just start to see at the way that the client breathes, that he starts to breathe slower and slower. And then he is into it and it relaxes. It doesn't work for everybody. Because some of the high corporate people, it takes three sessions for them just to calm down. You know, it's sometimes years of stress that they sit with.
I did wonder about, what about trauma? Mm. How does it release trauma, or how can you release trauma?
I'm not a, okay, now again as the sound therapist. Trauma is very interesting because it's not a mind thing.
Mm.
Trauma, When you have experienced trauma, it goes and sits in your body. And that's what usually happens when somebody who has experienced terrible trauma, and as when these sounds start to flow through the body, they almost go bouncing against that trauma that sits in the body. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to release. So that's what usually happens, is that people say that they... At one stage, they can't feel it, they can't breathe, and then they start to breathe. And as they breathe and let go, there's an emotion and usually a memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, but when I was 7, I fell out of the tree and I broke my arm. And then I was left alone in the hospital, and it was very scary. And then we link back to that incident. A childhood incident, and it's physical trauma, and they feel it. They will say that the arm starts to pain and get sore, and then as the sound moves through, it releases, and then afterwards we talk about it. Yes, I think this would really work well with trauma as well.
Yeah.
And it does.
So if it releases memories that you have in this lifetime, can it release memories that you have in another lifetime? Does the body remember, or do you remember that?
Definitely. I have had a few clients that that during the session, they will just regress to a past life.
Mm-hmm.
and wake up with a memory from a past life and actually see and feel and experience that past life. The way that I treat past life is just it must be significant within this life. Because otherwise it's just going back and back and back, and all that we actually have and need to work with is the here and now. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we sit with memory or a pattern that we actually keep on repeating in every lifetime. And in this life as well, and we don't know why. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we know about the past life and the pattern that we use over different lifetimes, we can break that pattern. Because usually it comes through families of just keep on doing the same thing over and over again. And then when you regress to a past life, it's usually significant in this life and where you at that moment. Mm. And I think that's the only time when you really access past lives, if it can contribute and help you in the here and now.
Have you done this therapy before?
The regression past life?
The singing bowl therapy.
Have you had the singing bowl treatment?
I have very good memories of a past life, but not doing the therapy, but being in temples and amongst these bowls and sounds. That's very strong memories, yes. And especially I have a very strong connection with India. I grew up in a small, very conservative boere gemeenskap. It was a farmers community and very Afrikaans. And since I can remember, I had a great fondness and with Indian people. And I had wonderful Indian friends in our town. And that's something that you can't explain to someone. Why do I have this thing for Indian people and I'm a white Afrikaans man? Mm-hmm. Yes, later on in my life, I regressed to past lives where I was actually in India. And,
When did you see a Tibetan singing bowl for the first time? Can you remember? Or when did you become aware of this treatment?
I was visiting a friend and she said to me, just out of the blue, I met this lady and she has Tibetan singing bowls and I just need to take you there. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into the room, something happened to me. It was like, I want to do this. It was like I just knew that this was my... And it was
you found your vocation.
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago. And since then, that's what I do. And when people meet me, and I've done a lot of alternative courses and whatever, and people always tell me, there's such a strong link with me and sound. Francois and sound. Always, everybody that meets me say that that's who I am. I am sound. I am music. And that's a great part of who I am, yes.
That's amazing. Mm. We were talking about this. Liesl said earlier that it changed her life. So do you get that comment regularly where people go like, that changed my life?
Mm. I don't always take all of the credit because what happens a lot, I know one of my... People come to me when they're ready to change, and I'm a facilitator of change, because people will go through different therapies and they will end up with me and have a sound session, and then it's as if it is that last click, and then just something magic happens.
What about mothers with babies still in the uterus? I mean, in the womb. Yeah.
Oh, the babies love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had a friend, and since she found out she was pregnant, she came frequently for a session. And the boy is already 9 years old now. He's my godchild, and we have such a strong connection. Uh-huh. And when he was born, I gave him a singing bowl as well. They love it. They really love it.
That's a nice idea, giving someone a singing bowl. So you could just like do one note on one bowl. So you could give me a gift and just one bowl, and then with your little rod, and you just do like ding, and I'm like happy, and ding, and whenever I'm stressed, ding, reminder of be happy or be calm. Can that work?
Yes, I think, and if we look at the some of the Tibetan monks and the temples, They play the bowls and the bells frequently, and that's their connection to God. So, I think it's a nice gift to have in your house, just to remind you of the magic of sound.
So, Shemaine was hinting at getting a bill.
Oh, no, no, no.
When you buy a bill, is it better to get an old one that's been used before by generations, or is a new one fine?
A new one is fine, I think. The ones, they are so, I think they are at this stage commercially made a lot because there's such a big demand now for it, and they sell it. You can find some of them at Rosebank Flea Market.
Oh. But doesn't that have an effect on the intention, and the intention has an effect on the actual sound vibration?
I think it's the therapist's. The therapist and his or her intention that plays a big role. So it's they don't have a specific magical power. It's just metal,
yeah.
and they make a beautiful sound, and that's what I believe.
Yeah. Wayne Dyer said something like, "If you change the way you look at things, that thing changes." So it's kind of like, for me, that makes sense what you're saying. It's like, you know, so even if you had the crappiest intention with that thing, but if I take it and I redo what, you know, or I repurpose it, then, yeah, then it could be, I think.
I think it's better. It's the whole intention, and I just love my bowls and the way that I use them and treat them and just be with them. I try to create a safe and sacred space. For me, it's a very sacred, because I don't take I'm the healer and I heal people. I just create a safe space for people to heal themselves. And that's important for me, because if you feel safe and you've got the guidance and you've got the help of sound and my intuition and my guidance, I open up the doors for you to heal yourself. And I think the healers out there must remember that we are not healers. We're just facilitators of healing. And we must just create a space where people can heal themselves.
Do you ever get in a trance with the sound when you're working on someone? Do you also go with that whole vibe of, I'm with you, I'm so there, yes, take
yes,
me now?
Yes. It usually, when I start to play the big gongs, that's usually in the middle of my session. It's magic. My one big gong is just magic. And when I start to play that big gong, I just go into a trance. And usually I see what the client sees and feels. And I'm almost taken into their world. And then afterwards I can just feel and have it. And remember that people always feel scared and vulnerable in a situation like that. You will only show what you're ready to show other people. So you will never be exposed in a way that you will feel uncomfortable or not able to deal with that at that moment. So the unconscious and the being is very wise, and it will guide you to see and experience only what you're ready to see and experience.
Do you feel voyeuristic at that moment? Seeing what they're seeing.
Yes.
Does it make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable?
Very comfortable, because it's I do it out of a place of immense love and caring and just to do good. So it's for me, it's a sacred space. It's really special. Yes.
How do you care for your bowls?
They travel a lot, so I try to. No, there's no specific way. I don't like to clean them with solvents or anything. I just like to leave them like this. But at one place where I rented a room, the cleaning lady felt very. she really wanted to do something, so she took brass out. And when I walked into the room again, my bowls were like shining mirrors. No, I don't like to clean them. I like the rugged way they look and feel.
So when someone has touched your bowls, I have now touched one. Are you afraid of energy transfer or nothing like that? And that lady who cleaned it like that, you weren't afraid that too much cleaning energy went into there?
No, I think just she just wanted to do good, so I just took it for that. I didn't like the look of my bowls, but I left them in the rain for a while so that they can just get old again. No, I don't. I don't believe in the transference of that. It will just transform energy again anyway.
Sorry, Shemaine. How often should you come? Should a patient come for a session?
Okay. I would love them to come frequently, but what usually happens is the people that end up with me, they come for one session and then they're gone.
You're doing what you're doing.
But I have a few frequent clients, and I think in the beginning, especially if we deal with something like anxiety or stress, once a week for the first 3 weeks, and afterwards then I just go every second week, and then once a month, and then every 3 months or so on. So it's like an aid to help you, because that's why I like to do counseling with it, because it doesn't, it's like putting up a plaster on yourself. I'm feeling stressed, so for that hour I relax. But what causes the stress? What in your life can change? I like to talk to the client and help him to or her to help themselves.
So you can use both disciplines?
I can use both disciplines, yes.
The psychology and the sound.
Yes.
That's a strength, isn't it?
I think it is, and it gives me confidence that if I come across something that is severe, like child abuse or something, that I know how to deal with it and what to do with it, and I know the right routes to take when something like that crosses my path.
Mm.
Can you use these bowls to treat depression?
I think it will alleviate some of the symptoms, but we as educational psychologists, in our scope of practice, we're not allowed to work with depression, so we usually refer, but sometimes people come to me for a different reason, for career guidance or something, and they're already also depressed and on treatment with a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and then I do it in addition. But then I just tell them, please don't leave your medicines or anything. Just stay on what you and do what you do. This will only help you, and will help you to relax. And I will teach you skills to take what we are doing here to take it home and do it there, so that you can just start to relax.
Do you know that my dog enjoyed this? The sounds of this Tibetan singing bowl music, or whatever you call it. He was growling, you know, and it's a big dog, so he goes, and I'm going, oh, I can hear you enjoying this. And then he went flat out and just laid there, you know. So do you use them on animals? That's basically a very roundabout way of asking whether you are asked to use this on animals.
Have you seen
animal reaction to it?
Yes, I have a cat that absolutely loves this, and I have to close the door because a lot of the people are allergic to cats. So she wants to climb on the bed on the client, so I have to close the practice door so that she can't come in. Yes,
that's where when I had my session years ago, the cat came to lie on. I think it was on my feet or on my legs, and it was just amazing. And I almost had this idea that the cat's purring is contributing to the sound waves. So I think your clients who are not allergic to cats might really benefit if your cat wants to come in.
Well, there are studies that have shown that the purring of the cat has also a vibration and a frequency that's healthy and that helps you to heal. So yeah, definitely.
My cat never purrs, so he's absolutely useless in that way.
Oh, did he hear you say that you are useless? So, I think we are just about nearing the time to...
Before we say goodbye, Francha, can you give us one more round of sound?
I think what I should do is just to... I've got a crystal bowl here as well, and that has a total different sound. I would like to share that
with
you.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be lovely. So what do you think, Liesel? Francha is getting his things together, and I'm super excited, and I do apologize for not getting him here earlier.
It's okay, my darling. Everything happens exactly as it should.
Uh-huh.
So before you play this crystal bowl, what kind of crystal is it?
I think they use... this is machine-made, so it's at a specific tone. This is an A on the piano, And it's made in the USA, so it's very expensive now with the rand dollar. But it's in the same way, if you play a crystal wine glass, mm-hmm. it's the same effect that it has. And you get crystal bowls like which are very huge, mm-hmm. And I really want one of those.
Okay. So let us hear. Then afterwards we're going to have a party with crystal glasses, and you're going to teach us how to do that.
Okay, here's the crystal bowl.
Oh, that is just beautiful. That is just so beautiful. So, on that note, maybe we should give his details.
Francois, where can people get hold of you?
I'm on Facebook at Francois Smith. Sound Therapy by Francois Smith, yes.
Not a TH, just Smith.
SMIT. And my email address is FrancoisSmith1word40@gmail.com.
Okay, so Francois Smith 40@gmail.com. And that's our show for today, folks. And I really had a good time. I'm sold.
Well, Francois, thank you for joining us. From me, Liesl Tom, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Palisa. You did great. And I'm Shermaine Harris. Be good.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.